Let's jump into the Word and let Papa speak back to our hearts this morning. And Lord, we ask you to do that, to speak to us individually. Thank you that you know how to break the Word open and to feed each and every one of us so that we hear what we need to hear this morning. So I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the earth at this time. Thank you for the privilege of being involved in it. We love that, Lord. Amen. We're actually doing a series simply called What's God Up To? Because I believe that there is this sense in the body of Christ that the Lord is doing some things, that there's like an acceleration in the realm of the Spirit. And he's calling us into greater things. He's calling us into preparation mode for what he's wanting to do in the earth. The Bible promises that there will be a latter day harvest that will be huge. And there's many people who are saying that that's what we're preparing for. So this series is basically just looking at four areas that I feel like the Lord is highlighting. So let's have a look at the first two that we've gone over. Number one, calling us to prayer in a place of encounter. I think you'll hear that from so many different quarters at the moment, that God is calling us to pray. That's our starting point, but there's such an emphasis on prayer at the moment. Number two, we looked at last week, the fact that he's placing us in families. And we talked about the difference between a factory church and a family church. And I know from feedback that a lot of people found that helpful. And I believe that's part of what God is doing in the third aspect that I want to talk about today. And that is about teaching us the ways of the kingdom. The kingdom is the king's domain. It carries the characteristic of the king, carries the ways of the king. And many of us have been taught the ways of the world. And we're finding out that the ways of the world and the ways of the kingdom end up being at odds many times. They're quite different. So the Lord wants us to pick up the ways of the kingdom, and he's bringing an emphasis on that. In fact, Jesus spoke about the kingdom many times, and he gave so many pictures in the Word of God. And he's saying the kingdom of God is like this, and it's like that, and it's like this. And if you understand this picture, you get a glimpse of what the kingdom is like. He spent his time going around teaching people, helping them to understand what his kingdom would be like. We get all kinds of visitors in church, don't we? The other thing that we see in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus sat and he taught the people, he would say over and over again, "You have heard that it was said, dot, 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 but I say." He was bringing a new mindset to the people. And I believe he's still doing that. I believe some of the things that we have thought, he is changing. And he's bringing a whole emphasis on the ability of our mind to think in line with heaven. Okay, well, we're going to jump in with Deuteronomy 11. Very interesting verse, starting here in verse 10 and 11. "For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven." Very interesting verse, and really it brings out the whole thing that in Egypt they did things by effort. They were slaves, and slave mentality is, I get what I work to gain. So they watered the land by foot. They made these water wheels go, and you know, it was effort. And the Lord's saying, I'm taking you to a land where it is not based on effort, it is not based on man's ideas or reasoning. It is based on seeking my face. And it's a land of dependence upon him. And that's hard. Who's found that hard? Who's found it so much easier to just go with your own reasoning? Well, if I do A plus B, I'm going to get C. And God says, no, I want you to do D plus F, and it's going to equal C. And you go, tilt, tilt, that doesn't make sense. That's called trusting the Lord. That's called walking in the Spirit. It says in Romans 8 that those who are guided by the Spirit or led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And that word for sons means mature ones. Our maturity has to do with learning to lean on him and listen to his voice. And I believe that's coming out more and more in the time that we're living in, that God wants us to learn to listen to his voice and not go with the ways of man. And that's why last week we talked about factory churches. That's just based on CEOs' corporate mindset. And we have brought that into the church. And God's saying, no, I want my kingdom in my church. And it's bringing a mindset change for many of us. And that's not comfortable. And that's okay. God will challenge you on your thoughts. And it may be very simple things, like very simple example from my own life. I can't remember what it was over, but Ray and I were having a little bit of a tiff over something. And I responded to Ray the way I felt that he had responded to me. Usually happens. And I felt the Lord talk to me and say, why did you do that? It's like, well, he did. Good excuse. That's the way he's behaving, so that's the way I'll behave. And the Lord simply said to me, he is not your example, I am. Yes, it was. Ouch. Okay, Lord. It can be simply on that level where the Lord just speaks into your heart and adjusts things. Or it can be on a bigger area, like one of the areas that the Lord is dealing with, I believe in the body of Christ for quite a few years, is our eschatology or our end time theology. Who read or heard of the late great planet Earth? The late great planet Earth, or final warning, and all these. Yep, okay, a few more hands are going up. Our theology used to be that this planet is just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and God's going to rescue us out of here, hopefully before the tribulation, and we all lose our heads. Okay, like, dear God, rescue us. I don't want to lose my head. That used to be the mentality of the church. What that meant was that when we listened to the news and the news talked about disasters, on the inside we were going, oh yeah, that's just a sign of the times. Oh, thank you, Jesus, your return is coming soon. We would actually rejoice in the devil's work on this planet. Some of you are going, ah, yeah, we did. Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride. He's not going to rescue somebody from out of the garbage. He's coming back for a bride who has prepared herself. And it doesn't matter what our background is, but we're going to be a people who have prepared ourselves and are doing the works of Jesus when he returns. That's how the knowledge of the glory is going to fill the earth. It's because the carriers of glory are going to have been risen up and walking in the fullness that God has for them. So God is changing our eschatology. One of the reasons is when we look at this last verse in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 12 says, this is him speaking of the land, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. God cares about the earth. It's not meant to be our rubbish dump. God cares about the land, the physical land, but he also cares about the land that he has given us. See, one of my questions to you this morning, do you know the land God has given you? Perhaps it's the political sphere, education, social services, the medical field, families, social justice. What is it that God has placed on your heart? That's your land. Do you know that God loves the land that he's given you? And when we start to love the land, we start to express the heart of the Father towards that land. And we stop trying to just get out of it. But we start to live for the Lord in the midst of it. And I believe that's part of what we're seeing. We are seeing godly men and women that are rising up in all spheres of society. In the sports field, in Hollywood. I mean, who ever thought that Christians would be back in Hollywood? If you've been around long enough, you know that there was a time when the church withdrew from Hollywood. Amy Semple McPherson used to have Hollywood come to her meetings. They would come to get ideas. But then the whole mentality of the church became, oh, we've got to withdraw from the world. Guess what happened? When we withdrew from the world, we withdrew the salt and the light from the world. And the works of darkness have flourished. And God's saying, it's time for my people to start to love the world that I've placed them in. John 3:16 is the most well-known scripture. But sadly, many of us forget verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Many in the body of Christ still carry a message of condemnation, but it's not the message that Jesus came with. In fact, if we go to our next scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 5, we see the ministry that we're meant to have. It says from verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's a sad indictment against the church, I believe, that many think that our ministry is one of condemnation. It's one of telling people how bad their sins are and that God might like them, but he hates their lifestyle. How do you separate a person from their lifestyle? Especially if it's their identity. So what we have told people is that God hates you He hates your sin and he hates you. And if you don't turn, you'll burn. Now, I'm in no way saying that everyone is saved. God gave us choice and God will honor our choice. We have to choose him. We have to be saved. That is a commitment, a personal commitment that we have to make, each and every one of them, us. But it says here in 2 Corinthians 5 that God has dealt with sin. He's not imputing their trespasses to them. If you go on the internet and you look for prophetic words for California, you'll be hard-pressed to find one positive word that's been prophesied over California. They're all saying that God's going to throw California into the sea. Why would God do that? The disaster that hit New Orleans, going back years now, so many in the body of Christ rose up and said that was God's judgment. I think one of the first things God wants us to do is get our message sorted out. See, James and John, they said, well, this city is not receiving you. Why don't we just call fire down on it? I mean, they had scripture for it. Elijah did it. So let's call down fire. Let's scorch them all. And Jesus said, that's not my spirit. It's not my spirit. I believe it grieves him when people are talking about condemnation when he came and spoke of love, of mercy, of forgiveness. See, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Even if we get saved from the midst of a mess and deep need, it's because we discovered the hope of who God is. Second thing, I believe he's bringing increased revelation in the Word of God. Who's heard of Apollos? Got the reference there for you. You can look it up later. Acts 18. This guy was fervent in speech. He was anointed to preach. The only thing is that it tells us in the Bible there that he only knew up to the baptism of John. So he was going after God, but he hadn't even been saved yet. And Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and began to explain the scriptures to him. And you see Jesus do that on the road to Emmaus, where he broke open the scriptures. And I believe he's doing that again, where he's breaking open scripture for us, and scripture that we thought we understood, he's opening up and saying, okay, I need you to understand the ways of my kingdom, because I need you to be able to impart my ways. Third area, wisdom for the needs of the world. One of the things that God's going to use his people for in this hour is to be carriers of wisdom. We live in a world that is crying out for answers because they don't know anymore how to do it. And you'll be amazed at how many presidents and kings and politicians all around the world are looking to the church to give them answers. Got the reference there for you for Joseph in Genesis 41. He was at the lowest place. But he had the wisdom to answer the needs of Egypt. And because he answered the needs for Egypt and was able to carry that land through famine, he saved not only that nation, but the surrounding nations. There's people that God is going to use to start answering questions like world hunger, like sex trafficking. But it's very hard for God to answer those questions when we're all huddled behind church doors. See, Jesus said to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, that's our comfort place. In Judea, stepping out a little bit more. Samaria, no, we don't want to go to Samaria. And the uttermost parts of the earth. God wants to release his people to carry wisdom. Agabus there in Acts 11, that's where he predicted a famine. He did not stand up and say, God is going to judge you all. There's going to be no food. No, he said, there is going to be a famine. Let's prepare. Let the people of God know how to deal with this. I know Sean Bowles has prophesied, he's prophesied quite a few earthquakes now into Latin America, but not his judgments. The whole earth is groaning, so there will be things like earthquakes. But what he has done is he has contacted the churches and said, number one, make sure you have earthquake insurance. Number two, be prepared. Number three, do this. And he's been able to tell them the date that the earthquake was on. Those people were not in their buildings. Those people were away on camp. They were all safe. Because they'd got earthquake insurance the week before, well, however time before the earthquake hit, they were able to rebuild their auditorium, latest state-of-the-art auditorium. God wants wisdom to be released into this earth. I'll give you a scripture here in Proverbs 24:3. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. We have wisdom because we have the mind of Christ. It's part of your inheritance. It's part of who you are. God will give you wisdom in different areas. He'll give you wisdom into the land that you care for. Because where your heart is and where you begin to pray and where you begin to cry out to God, God will answer. And he will use you to bring wisdom. Let's look at a couple of Old Testament examples. First one that we're going to look at is 1 Kings chapter 10. It's the Queen of Sheba. She comes to visit Solomon. She is a queen. And it says that she came with hard questions. There are rulers that have hard questions that need to be answered. And the question is, where are the people of God that can answer the hard questions? But it goes on to say that she told Solomon all that was in her heart. Friends, there's people in high places that have no one to talk to, nowhere to go. How many Hollywood stars commit suicide? The heights of fame. Why? Because their hearts are lonely. All that they have around them are people who are wanting to climb some social ladder, want to be at the right place with the right people. But God's putting members of his body into places like that where they can befriend the hearts of people who have influence Our culture is shaped by Hollywood, whether we like it or not. And God is putting people into places like Hollywood, where the people who are making the movies are able to pour out their heart and know that this person isn't there as a friend because of their connections, but that person cares about them. These are the modern day Josephs and Daniels that God is wanting to use. Now, it's easy when we have somebody like the Queen of Sheba. She came, she asked questions, she received wisdom. And it wasn't just wisdom over how to rule a nation. When you look there in 1 Kings 10, she talks about the servants, how the table was set, how Solomon walked up the stairs to the house of God. Wisdom starts by learning to do things well. Starts by learning to have excellence in the small things. Never underestimate the small things. She's easy. But what about this guy? This guy's name is Nebuchadnezzar. This guy came from Babylon, attacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took the artifacts of worship from the temple, and took slaves back to his land. He was a dictator, a ruthless man. In fact, one night he had a dream, and he woke up in the morning. He couldn't remember the dream. So he gets all his wise men and his counselors, and he has them come in front of them, and he says, "Tell me my dream." And they go, "We haven't got a clue what you dreamed." And he got mad, so he ordered them to be killed. How would you like to serve someone like that for a boss? You think who you work for is harsh. Well, Daniel got word of this. He found out why everyone was starting to be knocked off. It's like, okay, let's do something about this. Number one, he went to prayer. Number two, he pulled round him the guys that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He went to prayer, he went to family, his support system. God answered his prayer because he said, "God, give us wisdom." But I want you to look at what he says to this man. Okay, we've already established that he is a dictator. He is ruthless. We would call him ungodly. Look at Daniel's response to him. Daniel 2 from verse 27, verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the last days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." Verse 29. "As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be." As Christians, when somebody who is not saved gets to pick up something in the realm of the spirit, we think, "Oh, that's witchcraft. Oh, New Age. I bet they're into the New Age. Or maybe they're into the occult." How many Christians think, "Oh, God's talking to them"? Or do we think God only talks to Christians? Daniel looks at this dictator and says, "God is talking to you." How many of you recognize that God was talking to you before you got saved? Look at the hands. Awesome. God is talking to a lot of people out there. The thing is that we're scared if they're not saved because we're scared that it might be the wrong spirit. I believe God is encouraging us to believe that it's Him talking to people and that people want answers. I know groups of Christians who have gone out and they have simply asked unsaved people, how many of you have got a reoccurring dream? And many of them go, I have. I dream this all the time. And they say, oh, great, God's talking to you. What's He telling you? And they start to interpret the dream. They get the person saved. He's bigger than we realize. He wants to talk through us, yes. But He wants us to be able to recognize when He's talking and when He's ministering to others. I believe God wants to change our concepts and to help us realize that He has got a huge, wonderful plan for this planet. Let's pray. Papa, help us to understand Your heart for the world that we are involved in. Lord, not just the whole planet, but this city, this nation, our workplace, the things that we give our attention to, the things that we love, our family. Lord, thank You that You're speaking to our family, even though they're not yet saved, that You're already speaking to them. Lord, thank You that You want to give us wisdom. Lord, wisdom so that we can bring hope into situations, that we can take people who are lost in darkness and have their eyes turned to You because we bring Your answers. We thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for the privilege of working with You and what You are doing on this planet. Amen. I'm just going to throw up. We're not going to take time because our time has gone. But I'm just going to throw up three things that I encourage you to take away and think about. Number one, what do you love? The thing that you love or the people group that you love are who you're going to pray for. They're the ones that you're going to carry God's heart for. And when you carry His heart, you will also carry His answers. Secondly, who are you drawn to? Is it always a certain group of people? If you're drawn to a certain thing or people group, it's because you carry answers for them. Thirdly, what wisdom do you hold? World's looking for answers. You have them. So Lord, thank You for the boldness to share what You have given us. Amen.